Welcome to another episode of the Indian Cycling Podcast. The Indian Road National Championships concluded last week. We have Sam Solomon from Telangana State team giving us an update of the events. Welcome, Sam, and as always, Gokul.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Welcome, Sam. Good to have you back here on the show. Listeners, we did try our best to give you a daily update on the nationals after each day. We tried it on the first day and the voice quality wasn't great. We tried again on the second day and we tried innovative methods to keep the voice quality good. We even went inside a car and a parking lot and we tried our best, but the results were not very encouraging, and we decided against uploading the episode we had recorded on the end of day two, and instead wanted to do a recording here in Hyderabad after the guys returned.
So the thing is that the podcast being a hobbyist thing right now, we don't have enough funds to go all the way from Hyderabad to Rajasthan and basically take both a vacation and sort of like a working vacation. And so we basically bullied Sam into being our intrepid reporter. But intrepid that he is, even he couldn't get the call quality and the audio quality right. And we just felt, okay, if the quality isn't right, then maybe we shouldn't do it. But one thing I liked, and I don't know if this was done before, but Chintil Mohan, or on Facebook, he is Sports Anonymous. He did some wonderful editing, both the race aspect and like pre-race, after-race, that sort of thing. So I really like those videos. The good thing is they're short videos. They don't take up your podcast is a lot of time. So if you're curious on what happened on each day, you can go to Facebook and look up Sports Anonymous page. We're actually very happy that someone actually went there, did a kind of analysis of sorts.
Yeah, Chintil is a professional photographer and he's also into cycling. I had the privilege of riding with him in Tour of Nilgiris 2015, I think. So he's professionally a photographer and cycling is his hobby. So he tries to cover the events as much as possible. And he has been doing a great job for the last few years. It's not just this year.
And as someone who was on the scene racing in the series every day, the one thing that I can say is that all of us were eagerly waiting for Chintil to upload all of the photos and the videos, because we'd be featured in it and we could see it. That was one thing that we really looked for. So a great job on that from Chintil.
Yeah, I think he even went to the Asian Championships this year. He definitely went abroad somewhere.
In 2017.
I'm sorry?
In 2017, I think.
This year, I don't think so.
Okay, maybe. Okay.
Because none of the photos I saw from this year's Asian were good, so...
Nice.
Okay. So, moving on to the core topic for today, the Indian Road Cycling Nationals. So, the Indian national team probably has not yet started making a big mark in the international scene. However, that is... the scenario in the road nationals is actually quite different, because many of the athletes who come, for them it is a make or break in terms of life itself. These are poor and many times aspiring people whose life could have a significant redirection if they were to be on the podium, because they aspire to get a job in the railways or the armed forces based on the sports quota, and as a result they are fought tooth and nail, you know, sometimes even unprofessionally as well. But the level of competition is very high, and because the stakes involved are quite high, So it is quite an experience to be there at the nationals, you know, even though some of us may think that, you know, since the Indian cycling as such has not made a big mark in the international scenes, it may be very it may not be very competitive, but it is quite the opposite. It is extremely competitive, and it is at their own level they try their best, and they are very well trained teams, especially the some of the top teams like the Railways, Armed Forces, Karnataka, Punjab and all. They have very good equipment and they train together and they are very serious about it and they do give their best. So how was it? This was your first national, Sam. So how was the experience?
To be honest, I went in with some expectations, having heard about it from all of you about the level of competition and the fact that I won't see anything like this in the Indian cycling scene, except at the nationals. And I have to say that's entirely true. The level of hunger, the level of dedication that you see from some of the teams, you see this fire in everybody as they walk around you, and the air feels like it's electrified.
Yeah.
You show up at the race venue and you can hear people talking to each other. It's all just cycling stuff.
Yeah.
It's an amazing experience, and I think the one thing that really stands out, you know, when you walk up first is the number of young riders. You see you see kids, you see girls, you see women, you see all of them in full race kit, and they've all been training for a long time. And I think it's very inspiring as cyclists to go somewhere where that is the main objective, you know, because everybody's laying it on the line and you can feel the hunger that everybody's coming with. So me personally, I think I've gained a new level of respect for people who are dedicated cyclists, who, you know, have this dream and this vision to do something amazing with their skill.
So one thing that always strikes me about cycling is that there is almost, like Google said, a class divide. That there are the professionals who are mostly employed by government, and there are the amateurs like Sam yourself, who have a reasonably privileged life outside that is not connected to cycling in that sense. You work as a software engineer at a successful company. So you coming to cycling is through pure passion. A person who is working in railways or services comes to cycling also through passion, but you know, this is how he makes his living. So how did you, I mean, in some ways, this is where the two worlds meet, right? The Telangana state, probably not, because most of the people are still amateurs here. Whereas there, it's like, you know, there are these two worlds, and then there is someone like Naveen Jung, who is sort of on his own planet. So how does that meeting of the worlds, how do you see it?
That's a really, really good question. I was talking to Akash on the team. Akash is a close friend and also a part of the TBA Racing team. I was talking to Akash and I mentioned that we are investing a lot of time, effort and resources into cycling. But all of them are cycling because they want to make more money. So it's like two opposite ends of the spectrum meeting in the middle. And how it melds is that when you're racing, you don't really see the other person beyond their abilities and their skills. And you see them as a cyclist and you see them as a competitor. So when you're riding in the peloton, there's 100 people around you. Everybody's just got one single motivation, one single goal to get to the finish line. But while that is entirely true, you do see a slight difference when it comes to more aggressive moves. The people who are hungrier are more likely to push you. You will see people cursing and yelling at each other inside the peloton because for them, the desire to win is all-consuming. So there is a slight amount of difference, and I think with the right amount of dedication and the amount of investment of effort, I think you can eliminate that gap between the people who are doing it as a hobby, as amateur cyclists, and people who are pro cyclists. So that is the key difference there. I think it comes down to the fact that if you are a pro cyclist, as in if you are only cycling and nothing else, you will naturally want it more than everybody else because that is the only thing that motivates you. So it's not immediately obvious, but there are times when you can see it. Everybody's just a little more hungry. They strike a little bit earlier than everybody else. They make more decisive moves than everybody else. So that is definitely visible.
Yeah. At the same time, there is also a crossover of the two worlds, if I may say so.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is, if you look at the pure results of this year's Men's Elite Mass Start and the individual time trial, both were won by amateurs. When I say amateurs, not part of a service squad or the army, you know. Punai, who won the Mass Start, was from the Delhi team, who was coached a few years ago by Naveen John. And Naveen John himself won the individual time trial. And the very interesting thing of the crossover is that Naveen John took away the trophy from Arvind Panwar, who came second in the individual time trial this year, who is part of the Railways team, but he is training more like Naveen John.
Yeah.
Having a offshore coach, and he's getting trained by power numbers and stuff like that, which is very different from the rest of the service, rest of the railway squad. So there is a good crossover, and people like Kiran, Naveen John are putting a big question mark and making these squads rethink how they are doing their job. And in fact, even the CFI, for that matter, is taking clues from this, and very creditably they have got lot of the Indian state team coaches certified by UCI for the coaching practices, and a lot of those new practices are also being incorporated.
It's also an interesting position for cyclists who are dedicated, purely cyclists, because for them there is no excuse.
Yeah.
Like they have the time, they have the motivation to
I'll come to your excuses. Gokul, please, I'm going to interrupt Sam there. Mm-hmm. I want you to tell your story before we go off into excuses.
Yeah, so I have, talking about nationals and all the young people who are so motivated and stuff, so I thought I will start off with a true story myself. So some time ago, about the early part of this year, I had a young boy come into the store. He is very stylish.
He's not that young.
Yeah, he's probably not that young. He's also realizing that. So, at least younger than me.
Yeah.
So he had this very fancy accent, and he was talking lot of technology and stuff. And he didn't have he had lot of knowledge, but he didn't have much experience in cycling. So he inquired a lot, and I helped him. Probably I didn't do a good enough job. I didn't see him for some time after that, and I saw him a month later at the store with a brand new bike, not so great bike because it wasn't bought from us. So and then one thing led to the other. I think he was speaking to Sampath for a while, who is part of the team at Bike Affair and who has raced in the nationals a few years ago, and he has done exceedingly well in the under 23 in 2017. So this boy got very excited, and he wanted me to coach him. We were about to go to Ooty for a training camp, and we had a long discussion where probably monologue rather, because he was talking a lot. I hardly got to talk. So, but he was very excited. I could feel the enthusiasm in it. And I was only thinking that I just hope he shows the same level of passion in the work that he does as well. And he was actually doing that. And we had surprisingly big growth with respect to the power numbers and stuff. In fact, it is a growth which I have not... never expected at the beginning of the year. So, and you know, he just kept improving, and he came to a point. Then there was this Pune Baramati race, but he ended up doing very well, and finishing along with the top group, which was quite a revelation to us. And it also gave all of us confidence that he could do very well. And the nationals and the race was just an obvious, became an obvious event in our calendar. And we were preparing very well for that just 2 weeks before the state selections, about a month prior to the present day. We had a session, motor pacing session. I finished the session, I was riding the scooter, I came home. He was just returning home after the session, and he had a very bad crash on a downhill, and it was quite surprising that nothing broke, but he lost a lot of skin, and in fact so much so that we had to get a plastic surgeon involved, and he was applying silica gel like talcum powder everywhere on his body. And I was there in the hospital when he was removing the dressing after a couple of days, and even before we could ask, he kind of told that you should forget about state and nationals and all, because I'm pretty sure he was telling the doctor also all these things. And so we just kept quiet. I just told him like, let's just take one day at a time and we'll see how it goes. And then 2 weeks later, the state selections was there. Fortunately for us this year, they did both an individual time trial and a mass start. So given that he had very bad bruises on the back of his left arm, it prevented him from being really able to hold the hoods or apply the brakes. So the next day was the first time he was holding a bike on the road, and he was still in no position to really apply the brakes, but we were really not sure whether it was a good idea at all. But somehow he just went ahead and raised that. And
to be fair, my rationalization there was that if you need to use the brakes, you're not going to go very fast.
And hey, you ruined the ending. Okay, just get to the ending now. Okay.
That is Sam, and he was there on the nationals, and in fact he did exceedingly well in the mass start. I still can't believe that somebody who didn't know what is cleats or hoods 6 months ago goes to the nationals and comes in the top 15. So it is quite an achievement. And so that is Sam, who is going to talk about his experiences this time. Welcome, Sam.
Thanks, Gokul. That's a lot of kind words. It's probably the first time Gokul has showered me with this much praise and affection.
Yeah, that is only in public.
Yeah, I'm really grateful for it. I haven't really done a lot of talking about the journey and things like that, because I've always felt that the work should speak for itself. And as a result, if I generally, whenever I receive training plans from Gokul, who has both coached and mentored me to where I am today, and will continue to do so for the future and make sure that I get to a really strong place. I think the work speaks for itself. Mm. You just need to stay consistent, focus on the work, put that first, and deliver on every single day. At the end of the day, when you're training just with yourself, you're competing with yourself, and you train towards a goal, and at the goal, you compete with other people and see where you are.
True.
So overall, I think that's one of the main things that led me to where I am. And the amount of support I've received, the amount of encouragement I've received both before the crash, after the crash, it's overwhelming, to be honest. I did not expect this many people to get behind me and say that I could do it, to inspire me to pick up where I left off despite the injuries, despite the pain and the discomfort, and still do it. One of the main things that really brought me back from the crash was I think Gokul visiting me in the hospital and then giving me a book. The book's title is How Bad Do You Want It? And I think for me, every single day since I received that book, I've asked myself that question.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the one thing that really drives me to achieve what I really want.
Mm-hmm.
Because the moment you know how bad you want something, you are prepared to make the sacrifices, you are prepared to be in pain and suffer a little bit and make your dreams happen.
Okay. So now let us talk about the nationals. We had a day one update, which was about the individual time trial. So if you're curious about it, you can go and listen to that episode. And we also want to talk about day two, three, and four, where the Mastart, Criterium, all these events happened. So I know in the day one update episode, we talked about the place and the weather. But Sam, can you sort of set the context? Tell us where it took place, how the weather was.
Sure. So the Nationals this time was held in Bikaner in Rajasthan. It was held right outside the town of Bikaner in a place called Nal, which is about 15 kilometers away. The race venue itself is pretty flat. It's a 10 kilometer out and back loop for the major events. And for the Criterium, it was a 3.5 kilometer out and back loop, but basically the same course. The weather conditions were, to be honest, like we kind of knew it going in. It was going to be dusty, it was going to be hot during the day, it was going to be cold during the night, and super windy. We expected the course to have a lot of crosswinds, and that turned out to be mostly true. So day one was individual time trial, day two was team time trial, day three was the mass start, and day four was the Criterium.
We should remember that there are multiple age groups and gender and sometimes even bike classifications.
Yes.
I think there is youth, which is under 14, sub-junior, which is under 16, junior, which is under 18, under 23, and elite. And in both the men's and women's category. And there is also an Indian cycle mass start race, which is not age group based.
So
while we told about the events on the 4 days, I think Sam, you were referring to the men's elite. Some of the other age group and gender group races were on different days, right?
Yes. So as in they were spread out based on the time availability and how they could make it happen.
Yeah.
All in all said and done, there were 800 cyclists participating.
Wow.
Which is the highest number so far.
Mm.
Which means that road cycling is gaining a significant amount of traction. Especially across the age categories. I think the number of juniors and sub-junior participants was really, really, really high this year.
Oh, that's very interesting and good. Yeah, so cycling is getting mainstream.
Okay, Sam, so let's set the field here. Okay, who are the big names at the Nationals, both in terms of individuals, states, teams? I mean, states are teams, basically. So, yeah.
It's going to be the usual suspects, right? If you look at teams, if you look at people who are well-backed and more organized than others, it's always going to be the railways and the services. So you have the big boys showing up with the best kit possible. Of course, they use their kit very wisely and smartly. So it's not like they're being given unlimited kit and they're just doing whatever they want with it. They have the best bikes, they have the best equipment, and they have the best training as well in terms of working together as a team, staying in the same place, sharing the same food, things like that.
And the loudest coaches.
Definitely. You can hear them yelling at every U-turn. You can hear them shouting it out. So among the railways and the services, it's past champions. It's Sunday Shupar, it's Sridhar Savanur, it's Jeta Rangat, and Arvind Panwar. So when you see them wearing that distinctive kit, you feel that sense that, okay, you are amongst professionals who have seen a lot. And it's very inspiring, especially for people who haven't done it before and they're going there for the first time. Now, that's from the guys who have established themselves as strong teams. But as individuals, you have Naveen John, you have Naveen Raj, you have Kiran Kumar Raju, you have strong participants from Karnataka, from Punjab and from Delhi. You have all of these incredibly talented cyclists who have demonstrated themselves as individual competitors. And especially, I think, even in the under 23 category, you have Srinath Lakshmikant.
Mm.
So it's pretty inspiring to see that you have these strong competitors racing with you on the same course.
Yeah, and what I found interesting was that friend of the show, KKR, Kiran Kumar Raju, who is a national MTB champion, actually came to the road race.
Yeah.
Similarly, not a friend of the show right now, but hopefully in the future, Shivan Aerohawk, whose videos I love, was also there. And I think Manjeet Singh was there. He's a track champion, but he's also been a road champion. So it's not that surprising. But so this is one place where probably all three of them would race. I mean, all three categories of racers would come. So that was very interesting to me, at least looking on from the outside.
Absolutely, yes. You see Shivan in his distinctive Himachal kit. You see KKR in his distinctive Karnataka kit. And you look at them and you say, hey, this may not be their primary discipline, but when they ride, they ride. Based on their particular disciplines, you can see Kiran Kumar Raju going out of corners really fast.
Yeah.
The snap that he's able to summon to get out of the corner really fast, like I was struggling to stay on his wheel because he was just gone out of the corners.
Mm-hmm.
I think even looking at how they take corners, how they're able to summon lots of power at short instances, I think those are things that we as road cyclists can also learn, because it is definitely a significant advantage.
Sam, tell us more about the mass start, the race course and the teams and how you guys lined up. I'm pretty sure that itself is a very exciting experience.
Yes, I can definitely do that. So as I mentioned, the course was a 10 kilometer out and back loop, a total of 7 laps. The U-turns and everything else added roughly 5 to 6 kilometers, so it's about 145 kilometers, 150-ish kilometers. The energy is intense, because you're summoned to the race venue early, but you never know when the event is going to start, so you're constantly on edge, and you want to be a little warmed up. But if you spend a lot of time warming up, that might go to waste because you just have to sit idle for an hour or two. What we did was we showed up at the race venue quite early, got kitted up in our Telangana state uniforms, and waited near the start line. We just kept doing out and back loops, getting warmed up for it. The total roster for the mass start was about 100 plus riders. Everybody was in their state kit. I think the amount of energy that you see and feel, it's extremely tangible, because you look around and nobody wants to make eye contact with you. that's one thing that really pops out. Nobody wants to look you in the eyes because they see you as a threat, as a competitor, and everybody has this look on their face like they know they're going to suffer for a while. They know they're going to be in pain and sustained amount of pain for a long duration. So everybody's eating food, everybody's drinking water, everyone's popping gels and Red Bulls and Monster. So you see everybody just being prepared, and if you are standing idle and you're watching everyone else, you're like, hey, why am I not doing these things? Yeah, as a rookie, you look at all of this.
No, literally all the sensors are fired up, because one of the immediate thought processes that goes when you imagine a start line is the smell of Volini.
Yes, absolutely. you have arrived and you can smell Volini everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that, but they do that.
So, and it's also that... at that level, you can expect people to race really hard. So the likelihood of crashing is high, but because it's the elite men's race that we're talking about, everybody's seasoned. They're all veterans in the category. So they might be pushing you around, they might be very aggressive, but they expect you to be able to handle it.
Yeah, usually the under 23 is considered the most unsafe category.
Yes, absolutely, yes. But the remarkable thing about both the under 23 and the elite men's mass start and the criterium is that there was zero crashes.
Wow, that is quite a big good news.
When I spoke to the officials and everybody else on the course, everybody was surprised that we had zero crashes in the mass start.
Yeah.
So as part of the support crew, each state team got one pilot with a motorbike. Each state team got one pilot with a motorbike, and we had to send one of our people with our support, like water, food and nutrition, onto the bike, and they would support us on the course. The one thing that I realized after having spoken to some of the guys who were supporting us is that each of the pilots at one point was a cyclist. So as part of the peloton, when you do ask for a hand up, you say, give me some water, give me some food, the smoothness of that hand up is the best I've experienced so far. Because they would smoothly accelerate up, give you the food and then drop away. They also knew, they were very well educated about, stay like 3 or 4 bike lengths away from the peloton, don't crowd them, get out of the way of cyclists, and watch for oncoming cyclists as well. So that was quite remarkable.
Yeah, it is the best place to watch a race from. I've been on that position quite a few times, and it is also very scary because sometimes these guys take crazy risks to give a bottle of water.
Yes.
So, and you know, normally the rider is not as scared as the pillion rider. So when you are sitting behind and this guy is like ripping through the side where there is no tarmac, and you know, to hand over a bottle of water, your heart jumps out of your mouth.
And when you do want to assemble for a master, having spoken to Gokul and having spoken to everybody else, it's important to line up first. You know, you always want to be at the front of a master because the likelihood of getting caught in like first getting off the line, the start line crash, is quite high. So the sooner you get off the line, the faster you get away from the start line, the better for you. So we made sure to do all of that, and we were right at the line when the whistle went off.
Cool. So what was your race strategy then, Sam?
The race strategy is quite simple, right? As someone going to nationals for the first time, for me it was don't crash, right? Don't crash anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you watch people and see how they ride and learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like a big part of this experience for me was to learn, be able to be a sponge and absorb as much as you can, see how people are competing with each other. I think one of the things that I've been doing consistently over the last few months is trying to understand how much effort I'm putting into it and being conservative with it. You want to save as much energy as possible when you're in a master so that you can unleash it later. For example, when you want to go in a break or when you want to chase down an attack and catch someone who has broken away. So the strategy was to surf wheels, stay probably in the first maybe 15 to 20 wheels so that you can see if an attack is going. Try to stay off the shoulders of the road because the road shoulders are pretty dirty. What I mean by that is that it's very likely that you'll get a puncture.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Manjeet Singh had a puncture and a DNF as a result of getting a puncture on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And to monitor your food and water intake during the race.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned this because during those intense efforts, it's easy to say, yeah, I'm going to eat later or I can drink water later. I just need to focus on the race for now.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, you've bumped and
mm-hmm.
that's the end of the race for you. Coming to weather conditions, one of the most important things in any race is that in the team time trial the day before, we did not expect it to rain, but it did, and it made that race an absolute nightmare for us because we had like 35-40 kph crosswinds hitting us. It was raining non-stop and the temperature drops were incredible. So I think from that we learned that the next day is also going to be a little bit similar, so we prepared for it by adjusting the water that we were taking and the kind of food that we were taking in. And also kind of prepared for the race to be a little bit slower than usual because when it rains, everybody is a little more careful. So the race strategy overall was work if you need to, but conserve a lot of energy. Race clean, make sure you don't get caught in crashes. Eat properly, drink a lot of water. And especially when it comes to U-turns, try and make it to the front because there will always be people who will dive bomb you into the corner. And the moment someone dive bombs you, that's it. Right, because your line is compromised and you're not able to keep up with the peloton and then you get dropped. And I can honestly say that getting dropped at the start of a 150 km race is the worst possible thing.
Hmm.
So yeah, and don't get dropped as always.
That was the strategy, but how did the race really unfold?
To be honest, it kind of unfolded as we expected it to.
Okay. Cool.
At least early on.
Okay.
The pace was fast.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing 45-50 kph for the first lap or so.
Mm-hmm.
But then it started to get colder. When we started racing, it was 31 degrees.
Did you see a big groups separating at the U-turns?
Sometimes, yes. But we always had the railways and the services teams working to catch whoever was attacking. And
those would be the guys who would attack at the...
There would always be other guys who would just launch out of corners.
Oh.
And then you would have the entire group like a rubber band go and snap back and catch them and bring them
back. Okay.
It was pretty incredible to watch because the control at the front is so tight
mm-hmm.
that it was literally impossible for any reasonably strong group of people to get away from the front.
Mm-hmm.
They were very smart. You could see that they worked really well cohesively as a team. So that was one remarkable thing. And I think for the first lap, you were going pretty fast. And then it started getting colder. And from the team time trial, we knew it was going to possibly rain. And it did. And it rained non-stop for 2 hours. It rained and it rained and it rained. And the visibility was so low that at some point of time, everybody had slowed to like 30 kph because you just couldn't see the amount of volume of water coming into your face. The insane thing about this is that it's not like that's going to stop anybody. Around U-turns, people are still launching into attacks. People are still working really, really hard. I think a lot of people felt that the danger increased during the rainy portions. So you would see the group be a little bit closer to each other and slower. The race unfolded similarly for the rest of the race. We didn't have any major attacks. We did have one breakaway that went away with riders from Karnataka and I think Punjab. But the Railways and Services team worked together to catch them. We didn't really see a lot of other people working at the front. We knew that this was their race to control, so we let them do it. Towards the end, I think maybe with 1.5 laps to go, Pune from Delhi, Pune Pratap Singh, he just accelerated out of a corner. But it didn't look like he was making an extremely aggressive move. He just went ahead. And since I was at the very front of the peloton, I could hear people saying, you know, jaane de, let him go. We'll catch him. He's just one guy. What can he do? And I guess we did find out. With probably half a lap left to go, you could hear people chanting and cheering for him from the peloton to continue and really make that happen. So all of us, like, we were cheering him on because he was not the favorite. Honestly, I think at that point of time, anybody could have done it as a solo break because nobody would have expected that win. Nobody would have expected that as a move.
But for 30 kilometers to run solo ahead of the pack all alone is
it's not a joke.
Yeah,
it's a very strong move. I think those with time trial abilities being able to put down a sustained amount of power. Like, for example, I think if I'm not wrong, he did 280 watts for 52 minutes. At the end of 130 kilometer race.
If I'm not wrong, in 2017, Jamkandi Nationals, he was under 23 bronze medalist in ITT, just behind Aman.
And I think in retrospect, it was not a smart move for the big teams at the front to let a past medal winner just go off the front like that.
They must not have seen him in the light.
At the end, when we crossed the line, as we kept getting towards the finish line, I realized that, hey, we had lost sight of Pune and he was gone. And that's when everybody realized that the gold has already been taken by someone and the entire peloton is just sitting pretty.
The peloton did not make a move to catch them. Nobody made services. And
everyone's just conserving and marking the win.
So they just started playing for the second silver.
Honestly, I think that didn't even occur to them because all of the Railways and Services teams were busy marking each other and Naveen John. And Naveen kept attacking, trying to get off the front. But there would always be strong Railways and Services teams attacking him to bring him back. It was pretty surprising to see because even though Naveen had a strong contingent of riders from Karnataka, they still couldn't do enough to make a break happen. It feels like the net that they had cast around him was too strong to let him go. So towards the end, when the race finished, that's when everybody realized, you know, the gold is gone. And then everybody started working for the second and third places. The bunch finished in a sprint and Services took second and third and fourth. Overall, I think the big boys knew that they had to work just to keep each other contained. It was an amazing opportunity for someone like Pune to be able to go off the front. And I think everybody's really happy to see someone who's not a favorite win and capitalize on that opportunity because as someone who was in the event, I remember thinking to myself, you know what, maybe I should just try it. Who knows? You never know. I think that's part of the learning experience that I had there.
Cool. That was quite an interesting update. So let's quickly move on to the criterium, which was the next day. Could you summarize for the benefit of listeners on what a criterium was, what were the rules around it and how it is raced, and then talk about the race itself?
Sure. So a criterium is a closed circuit race. Usually it has four corners or more. Criteriums are significantly faster than mass starts because the race distance is 40 to 50 kilometers. And the course is usually going to be slightly technical. In this case, the criterium was not super technical because it was also an out and back loop. So the criterium was held on the last day of the nationals, which meant that everybody who had an opportunity to participate in the previous events participated, and those who were not able to have a good performance or did not feel like they did good enough showed up at the criterium. The criterium did not have age limit classifications and things like that. So everybody was showing up at the criterium, which meant that the racing was going to be harder. It was going to be way more aggressive. It was going to be much faster. The format of the criterium was that you were going to do 7 laps of a 3.5 kilometer out and back course. That's about 50 to 55 kilometers. And each lap was a sprint finish. So we had no neutral laps.
Oh, okay.
At all. Mm-hmm. We started racing from the line. So everybody was charged up. It was intense. And the amount or the number of attacks that went out during the criterium is just really hard to for me to wrap my head around. There were just constant attacks. You know, you had strong riders. You had KKR in the criterium. So everybody who had the ability to snap and get away, they were attacking. And it was constant. From our side, Akash kept attacking at the front
mm-hmm.
twice per lap. He made up this resolution that once he got around the U-turn, he would just attack twice and then recover.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, there were no breaks.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody learned their lesson from the previous day not to let anybody get off the front.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really tightly controlled. And out of the corners, people would accelerate up to 45-50 kph.
Okay.
And try and keep that pace for the entire race. So making a break happen was not going to be possible.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of each lap, there was a sprint finish.
Mm-hmm.
The points classification for this particular race was only the top 4 riders get points.
Oh, okay.
Only the top 4.
Mm-hmm.
Which made it a little more interesting because the gaps between each rider was really, really small.
Okay.
For the first lap, Gaurav from the Telangana state team took 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
He came in 4th at the sprint finish. But unfortunately could not take more points over the course of the race. You could see how closely it was contested. Obviously, there were like dominant performances from Krishna Nayakudi. You could see that he has a reputation for being an amazing sprinter. And you could
mm-hmm.
see that it was well-deserved. He was an absolute beast of the line.
Mm-hmm.
You could see he was a class apart.
Mm-hmm.
So all in all, yeah, that was the criteria.
Cool.
The race was about 55-56 kilometers. And the average speed clocked is 43.5
okay.
kilometers an hour.
Wow. Cool. And was there any rain on that day?
On the criterium? No, unfortunately.
Good,
I think it would have been quite interesting. I think if there was a rain.
I am sure there would have been crashes if there was rain.
For sure, yes.
Can you tell about the conduct of the event, how well it was organized and stuff?
Yeah, so since this is my first nationals, I don't have like a reference for the past. I think it was really well set up and well conducted. The safety and safety of riders, the ambulance services, all of that was on priority. You could see that there was a huge focus on safe riding, on clean riding. There was a paddock area near the start line. They had set up tents and shamianas where riders could go sit, park their bikes, and you know, nutrition and hydration would be taken care of. I think they were also very quick about the medal ceremonies. You could see that all of the officials were really focused on the task at hand. And again, a really strong emphasis on riding safe. In the past, there have been a lot of incidents of, let's say, cheating and you know, people drafting trucks and cars and things like that. But this time, I think the way it was conducted was so efficiently done that it could not have been possible to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what all sports people want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a fair opportunity to be able to race hard, and if the performance is good, win. If not, at least I'll know, me as a racer, I'll know, hey, somebody has won it fair and square.
So, thank you, Sam, for coming to the show and telling us all about the events at the Indian Road National Championships.
Thank you, Sam. We almost felt like we were racing at Sans the Sufferfest.
I'm happy to share my experience. I'm very happy to have had the experience.
Yeah. Yeah,
It was pretty remarkable to actually be there and participate in that energy.
Yeah,
I'm very grateful for it, and I cannot wait to go back next year and put in a much, much stronger show, and who knows, bring something back.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hopefully. Yeah. So if you like the podcast, please leave us a review on Apple Podcast, and you can also follow us on Facebook. We are the Indian Cycling Podcast. You can leave a comment there if you want to. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. And I would like to remind you that there are still a few t-shirts available. Should you need them, just drop us a note on either our email ID, podcast@thebikeaffair.com, or send us a message on our Facebook page.
Can I have one of those?
Yes, of course. Nah, I should have brought it today. I'll get it.
Thanks, Gopin.
Thanks, Sam.